being devoted to yourself, to everything in your life, and ultimately to the divine, because everything is the divine expressing an infinite amount of possibilities, that devotion will carry you to the most beautiful places and experiences.
The question we posed is, how do we cultivate more devotion? Well, the answer is by continuing to commit, by experiencing these high levels of connection, and then working through the necessary inner work that is required to make us a match to that.
Choosing to devote to being your highest self. That's really the only and ultimate devotion, is devoting to being your highest self. What would your life look like if you devoted to and loved yourself as God Source Creator loves you? What would it look like if you started doing everything in your life for other people as if you were doing it for the divine? Because that right there is devotion in action.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love.
We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our 7-year journey to unconditional love.
Our mission is to help you learn how to love consciously in all of your relationships so we can journey together towards a more effective, intentional, and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Together, we have overcome neurodivergence, mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and grief. After 6 years, the lack of knowledge on how to heal or love each other through these challenges led to our separation.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we built our new conscious partnership founded on unconditional love and a commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us as we put it all out there to show you the duality of our love's pain and beauty.
And remind you that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love. Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We could not be more thrilled to be here today to talk about devotion. We have had such an amazing week grounding here into Portland. It's really interesting being back in a place where so much of your life happened that you left, but also it's really nice to be somewhere that's familiar. We have been getting to spend a lot of time with two of our closest friends and core community members. And then we took 3 days and went off grid on the river where we did our trial run all those months ago before hitting the road. And it was just really nice to unplug and honestly do nothing. For 3 whole days, we did absolutely nothing. We had no service, no computers, no work. We just were, and it was really healing. And so if you have the opportunity, get out in nature, get off grid. It is honestly just so unbelievably healing and grounding. And that is really what our bodies need right now with everything that's going on. We're back in Portland for a couple of days, and on Friday, we are
on the road again.
Yes, that is our kind of little family mantra every time we hit the road. We are on the road again, heading to Washington. We have decided we're already doing this. Let's just get it done while we can, and we don't have land and children and all of the things that are coming in the next few months. And so we're going to do Washington, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, before settling back in NorCal permanently in September. So back on the road for us, and I'm really excited to see these 4 places, and we both have this really interesting anxiousness and excitement of feeling like there's some really important people we're supposed to meet and some really important places we're supposed to see. So really excited for that. Getting back into our content for today, this is episode 29, which is wild. And we're going to be talking about devotion as a whole. And what's really interesting is as this episode was downloading, if you will, we've actually been working on this for several months, and it just kept expanding and expanding. And we were talking about kind of commitment versus devotion and how devotion is kind of the upgraded version of commitment. And a dear friend of ours actually pointed out that's Gene Key 29. And, you know, we've mentioned the Gene Keys here. This isn't going to be a Gene Key episode, but that is the Gene Key. And it is the shadow of half-heartedness, the gift of commitment, and the city, SIDDHI, of devotion. And it's really fascinating to me that this is episode 29, Gene Key 29, and we were kind of transmissioning this information on commitment and devotion prior to even knowing that Gene Key. And so it really goes to show you can download and receive things from the universe. It's all one big collective knowing. You can call it the Akashic Records, you can call it the Hive Mind. So we're really excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, I mean, you can consider it a synchronicity or whatever label you want to put on it, but truly there is this knowledge that is present as truth. And when you tap into that, it gives you kind of the codes to the universe. It gives you the codes to relating with one another, and commitment and devotion are two sides of a very important coin because they really set the foundation and the experience of the relationship.
Absolutely. And you know, we love words here and defining words. Language is incredibly important. And before we go into talking about devotion, it's really important that we understand the context of what these words mean. So starting with half-heartedness, I think that one really defines itself. But something really interesting that came through reading this Gene Key in the book was it's really about how you begin something. And so obviously here at Loving Consciously, we're talking about love and relationships. You can apply this to anything. Everything in the universe can be applied here. However, looking specifically at love and relationships, again, not just romantic, this can be any type of relationship in your life, a pet, a friend, a job. It's all about how you begin. It's the energy behind your choice to commit to something. This is beautiful because our last episode, if you haven't checked it out yet, was all about intention and attention. But here we're talking about intention. Why did you start what you started? Where were you from a frame of consciousness, right? So did you begin something for money, for status? Did you start dating someone because of their looks? Did you get a dog to make you feel complete or a child? It's really looking at what you did and why, keeping in mind that generally speaking, if you are not entering into whatever type of commitment and devotion where you're looking at, if you're not doing it from an authentic, aligned, intentional, conscious, loving place, then it's half-hearted because it can't be wholehearted, right? Wholehearted would be you were 100% aligned and loving and intentional with why you were doing what you were doing. And I want to put a little caveat here before we move into commitment. I want to be really raw and honest for a minute that when we look at the world today, if you're hearing this and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a relationship and I love them, or I have this thing and I love them and I started it half-hearted, that's okay. I would honestly say most things and people did. We live in an egoic world right now. We live in a lower consciousness world where humanity is in the process of evolving. We started a lot of things in our relationship half-heartedly, many things in our life. And so it's okay if that's your reality. That's not bad. There's no inherent badness to that. It's just an opportunity to choose differently now. It's never too late to move into authentic, true, aligned commitment. And ultimately devotion, but we got to start somewhere. And so if you are in something that is half-hearted, ask yourself, how can I remove this half-hearted thing from my life? And or how can I transition this into an authentic and true and aligned commitment?
It's important to know that just because you started something half-heartedly, or if you started it with earnest intention, that isn't locked in. And so it is a conscious effort to continue to be committed, to continue checking in with yourself, where am I being half-hearted? And if you started something with good intention, take note and say, is there anywhere where I'm showing up half-heartedly? Because that creates a crack in the foundation. And if those cracks aren't addressed, then they turn into fractures. And they can act as this deep-seated crumble that can tear apart a relationship.
You said fracture, and my foot twitched a little bit. Still healing, coming up on 5 weeks, still not walking. Something really important that you mentioned that I really wanted to hone in on is these are not all or nothing, right? It's not like you do something half-hearted and then you move into commitment and it's checked and it's done and you're in commitment forever now. This is all fluid. And so really paying attention to, where am I showing up half-heartedly? I know I can name things right now where I'm showing up half-heartedly. For example, social media. I'm not a fan and I'm learning to use it in a way that benefits me. And so a lot of times when I'm posting content, it is half-hearted because if I'm being really true and honest with myself, I don't necessarily want to be doing it. And so that's a call for me to look at, how can I not be half-hearted in this attempt? I don't know why that was the first thing that came up. I feel like that's something most people use. You can do this in a plethora of ways, but really just calling out that key point that these are not all or nothing. You can be fluidly moving. So looking at commitment, I pulled up both the noun and the verb because I really wanted to look at both lenses here. Looking at the noun, commitment is an agreement to do something in the future. And looking at it as a verb, it's the act of binding yourself to a course of action. And so we can see here, you know, obviously commitment is much more of a verbal thing and it's your word. And while you are making the choice in the present moment to continue to stay in that commitment, the initial commitment is a future oriented thing. And so something I really wanted to call out here is being really mindful that while, let's just say marriage, for example, you get married and you make vows, right? You make them in the now for a future. Being really mindful that though you have made this promise for the future, you know, I'm going to be committed to this relationship regardless of X, Y, and Z thing, it is an everyday choice. Commitment requires us to wake up every single day and re-choose that commitment. And then, and this is specifically for relationships, but it will definitely apply to children and jobs and other things that can be challenging. It requires you to honor that 24/7, even when it doesn't feel good. Because those moments are the moments of opportunity. They're the moments of ego, ultimately, right? For us to make a choice. And as you know, always choose love. Commitment in and of itself is a radical choice every day to come back to love, no matter what. Think of it this way, and it might really, really help people who you hear a lot, like, I have commitment issues, or, oh, forever such a long time. I don't like to talk about the future. What commitment is radically choosing to come back to love in this moment, for every moment, right? But all you have to do is in this moment. How can I return to love with whatever thing I'm committed to?
It's such an important foundational aspect of relating to one another, because commitment really creates this net of love and safety between you and the other person, or you and whatever it is that you're committing to. Because what you are saying essentially is, no matter what comes up, I am committing to returning to love. It doesn't matter how long that takes. It doesn't matter what it is that comes up to be expressed and healed. I am committing to returning to love. And the depth of connection and healing that you can have with another person when you have that foundational commitment is absolutely insane. Because think about what you're really saying there. You're saying, no matter what shadow is expressed, we can heal this together on both parts because we are committed to love.
I don't really know why. I mean, I'm processing it in real time right now, but I'm kind of getting emotional thinking about our relationship because this is really challenging stuff. Mm-hmm. And I look back on the last 8 years, which, by the way, y'all, just a couple of days ago, it was 8 years since this wild being walked into my summer class. And the first words out of my mouth were, "You're lucky number 7. If you want to hear more of our intro, you can definitely check out our 3-part intro series, which we recorded like, what, 10 months ago. So I don't even know now what it says or how like aligned it is, but I mean, it's our story. And yeah, it's been 8 years. And through that, I look back and I'm like, I don't know how we made it through the things we did. Like, I think there was, in one sense, a really strong egoic attachment. And that's worked to our advantage, right? It got us through the hard times to our consciousness. Like, had we not had that attachment, we would not have gotten, you know, where we did. And we're going to talk about that more a little bit later. But I really think it was that radical commitment to love. And I don't think either of us had the words or conscious awareness to describe that. But when I look back at the last 8 years, it really was this foundation of being committed to love and coming back to love and knowing that you are not your shadows. You are not your worst moments. You are not the things that you quote unquote do. There is no doer, but the things that happened, that is not who you, the soul, inherently are. Holding on to that and whatever you're doing, whatever thing you're committed to, remembering that love is what's true and love is what's underneath all of that. And if you can get back to that, it makes that commitment so much easier.
Yeah. Holding that person in their highest regard in your mind, regardless of how they're expressing, really helps getting through to the other side of things. Thank you so much for retelling that story, because that really has been our partnership. It's been one of deep-seated commitment, and that commitment hasn't always been aligned commitment, but it's been commitment. And something that you said earlier about a resistance that people can feel around the topic of commitment, about not knowing what may come up in the future and that being a hindrance for them, something really helpful from just kind of a logical masculine left brain perspective. I had this conversation not too long ago about mathematics with somebody and understanding the basic principles of the universe and the fractal nature of how it expresses. And understanding that if we can really hone in and embody a few core concepts, that prepares us for anything that can happen in the future. So you don't need to know how to commit when somebody cheats, or how to commit when somebody is abusive or in patterns of addiction. Whatever may come up, you just need to know how to commit to returning to love. And if you can understand and embody that with whoever you're consciously relating with, you can address any situation without fear.
I love what you said so much, and I'll close us out on this portion here, and we'll move into defining devotion with, you know, it's really challenging when we look at shadows and ego and relationships, any type of relationship. It's challenging. And when we talk about commitment, you know, it's really easy to say, like, I'm committed unless, right? Like, unless they cheat, or unless this happens, or, you know, what if this or what if that? True commitment, this is where the Gene Keys comes in, because true commitment is not just that verbal definition we gave you from the dictionary, right? When we're talking about spiritual commitment, it's committing to love, and it's committing to that person regardless of what shadows come up. And so keep in mind, commitment is so much more than your word. It's an energy. It's a spiritual decision, conscious decision to commit to love. And so if that helps, try and rewire. I'm not committing to X thing forever, or, you know, this relationship or this job. I'm committing to being my highest self, and I'm committing to love. Moving into devotion. I love this word. This has rapidly become one of my favorite words. And I invite you, if you're able to right now, for just a moment, close your eyes and really sink into the energy of this word. Devotion. It is a devotional word. Like, there's an energy to it that, for me, the way I feel it is this immediate opening of my heart. And I just feel this pouring out of love and light into the world, into my partner, into the divine, whatever it is I'm devoting to in that moment. Right now, it's you all in this podcast. It's just this immediate opening up. And so I just want to give space before we go into these dry definitions and try and define this magical divine word. I want to give space for its energy, because I think it speaks for itself. It's one of those really special words that does that. And this is the beautiful thing about the Gene Keys, is all 64 of them, the cities, again, SIDDHI, which is essentially, if I had to describe it, the shadow is obviously how we manifest when we are not embodying that gift. The gift is when we've kind of unlocked that and we're learning it, right? Commitment. And then the city is the highest expression. Think of enlightenment. And so the cities in the Gene Keys, there's 64 of them, all of them are just like the most beautiful words. They all have just divine cosmic energy. Like I could just sit there and read them all, and they're truly just beautiful, beautiful words. You know, you have things like communion, grace, transparency. They're just these really deep words, and devotion is one of them. So now that we've sat with that beautiful energy, we can move into defining this. And I want to take a moment here, because we didn't do this in the beginning, and just be honest and raw that we are, our home is at an RV park in North Portland, right on the river, right next to the airport. I guess they like to put RV parks next to airports. So again, we apologize if there's any audio issues. I'll do my best to correct it, but this is life in a trailer. You know, we just don't have a podcast recording studio, and we're in the middle of a 100-degree heat wave today, so we can't run our AC because the really high, beautiful quality mics we purchased pick up that sound as well. So it's quite an adventure recording this for you all. Thank you for your patience. But
devotion.
Devotion. We are devoted to the cause. So devotion as a noun is loyalty and love for someone or something. And devotion as a verb is the act of worship or observance of someone or something. Now we can kind of see here, devotion is much more nonverbal. It's very present tense, because devotion requires your full embodied presence in this moment. You are 100% aligned and present and devoted to whatever you are choosing in that moment. You know, it's about doing. It's the expression of that commitment. And it's really sacred. It's a service to others. Devotion is at its highest embodied, full, siddhic expression. It is selfless. It is completely and utterly about serving the other someone or something. You can kind of think of it like commitment as the foundation, and devotion is that higher expression or the fuel that will keep your relationship, job, insert blank, going. So now that we have defined these three words to the best of our ability, words will never do justice, especially to devotion. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend the rest of this episode talking about devotion, what we've learned, how you can cultivate this, also how you can develop a healthier relationship with commitment, some ways that devotion can show up in your life, and some of them might blow your mind. You may have never thought about doing these things as an act of devotion. And then we're going to leave you with some contemplation questions. I love contemplation. It's been a big part of our journey. It's essentially just conscious deep thinking about something, and leave you with these questions to start cultivating more of this in your life. I pulled one quote out of the Gene Keys book from Gene Key 29 that I want to share with you all. It just absolutely struck me to my core. And that quote is, "The path of devotion is one of the simplest ways of touching the divine." And I would add to that, your relationships are your strongest ally to doing this. Something we want to touch on as well before we really get into this is bhakti. That's B-H-A-K-T-I. Bhakti is a Sanskrit word, and it means loving devotion to insert blank. It is one of the paths of, you know, in yoga, there's the, for example, path of wisdom and knowledge. There's the path of service and karma. And then there's this one, which is the path of devotion and the heart. And some of these are more masculine. Bhakti is a very feminine path. This happens to be my path. What this essentially is a spiritual path towards enlightenment, of attaining God, source, creator, whatever you call the divine, through love, through the heart space, through worship and praise and devotion, really. And for me, this shows up in my spiritual journey as hours on end with my eyes closed and tears running down my face, singing praise and worship music, and just really being brought physically and spiritually to my knees in awe of the divine, and just sharing that worship and devotion. You know, it manifests in a lot of different ways, but bhakti and devotion has been one of the most powerful tools that I've had in connecting with God Source Creator and in growing spiritually. My devotion to myself, my inner work, my spiritual path, my relationship, those things, treating my body like a temple, we're going to talk about all of these in a bit, is really, really, really strong. And it is that unwavering commitment and devotion to personal growth, which I think is in our intro, right? Founded on a commitment to personal growth. And you can see now, here we are 10 months after recording that intro and starting this podcast, how we've transitioned into a much more devotional place. And so I just wanted to share bhakti here, because it wouldn't be fair to talk about devotion and not mention bhakti. So if that resonates with you all, definitely look more into that. But it's essentially walking your spiritual path through devotion and through love, rather than through kind of the more masculine knowledge and wisdom and, you know, meditation and also service and karma and doing a lot of that. So you have options and you're not locked into one, right? Like, we all do a little bit of all of these, but I definitely lean more on the devotion side, and it's been the most powerful and profound thing in my spiritual journey.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You've always been somebody that's been devoted since day one. The way that you carry yourself in relationship, not only with myself, but with others, you are a very devoted person, and it shows in how you show up. Because when somebody is devoted to a relationship, the egoic attachment of doing something in the relationship for yourself cannot exist. It truly cannot show up when devotion is present, because you are fully embodied and fully observing the divine in whatever you're relating to. And it is such a beautiful thing to be witness to when you're singing, or to be the receiving end of that devotion, and also to give that same devotion back to you in this partnership. When we are in alignment and both people are in that state of devotion, it truly is a divine connection. You can't even put words to what it is, and I think that it is unique to each relationship, and so even putting words to it doesn't really do it justice. But the level of connection and merging that you have, and the love that is present, is similar to that of being one with God.
Obviously, we are in a romantic relationship that's very limiting. It's many types of relationships, but there is a romantic aspect. I also have, however, about a dozen very, very close friends, and I want to be clear here. I'm not saying anything is hierarchical or better. However, I have a friendship, my closest friend, who's been in my life for about a year now, and it also shares that marker of devotion, and it is a divine friendship. And so I'm sharing this because I really want you all to know this does not have to be a romantic partnership. This can be devotion to your children. This can be devotion to yourself, to your job, to the divine. It can manifest in anything in your life, devotion to your home, etc. As someone who has really deep devotion in friendship, in romantic partnership, in my spiritual journey, it can transmit to lots of different things. And I also realized I went right into talking and I didn't acknowledge what you said. So thank you for saying that. I receive that. I'm grateful and I love you. Moving into really the core here, how do we evolve our world to be love and relationships founded on commitment and fueled by devotion? How do we do this? How do we start to have more devotion in our lives? How do we start to have authentic and conscious commitments, not just commitment for commitment's sake? And so that gets us, there's two points here: developing a healthy relationship with commitment, and then cultivating devotion. Starting with developing a healthy relationship with commitment, I think it's really important to first look at the current relationship with commitment we have. I'm going to speak very generally. Obviously, this may not all apply to you. Use this as you see fit in your life. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. However, holistically, as a species right now on this planet, we have a very unhealthy relationship with commitment. Most people are committed to their jobs because they need the money. a lot of people are committed to relationships because they're afraid to leave. They don't want to be alone. Status, money. I can't get a divorce. My children, my religion, what will people think, etc. He pays the bills. Whatever it may be, we have a very unhealthy relationship with commitment, generally speaking, in our collective. Most people commit to things for egoic reasons. This is normal. This is to be expected when we live in a 3D egoic consciousness world right now. Each of us as individuals, it is our responsibility to start developing that healthy relationship with commitment. We're going to touch on this through two shares from our life, because I think vulnerably sharing our journey with this is really helpful. And the truth is, we've had a long journey with this, and we've learned a lot over the last 8 years. And one of the core things we want to hone in on is looking at commitment as an attachment to an outcome. So when we look at the ego, we're not going to go super deep into this. We've talked about this before, but you have the three core beliefs, right, which correlate to the three core emotions, anger, fear, and sadness, and it's attachment to outcomes, believing you're in control, and the belief in lack. Did I get those in the right order? I did. Okay, cool. And so a lot of commitment right now is commitment based on an attachment to an outcome. So AKA being attached to the relationship. You know, I'm attached to this image, this identity, all those things we said, right? The fear and control. And so it's very egoic. And it's an opportunity to look at, am I committed to this job, this person, this friend, because I truly want to be committed because of authentic, loving, conscious reasons? Or is it because I am attached to an outcome? And this for us over this last 2 years was hands down the biggest shift. I mean, this was the core, most monumental moment. I'll never forget the first time that we realized, oh my gosh, we are attached to the outcome of this relationship. And the correlating emotion to that is anger. And as you know, we've shared a lot on this podcast that that kind of was one of the really big core demons of our relationship. And it's interesting because mine manifested externally as a projection onto you. Yours was a very internal experience. Shame, resentment. And so that in and of itself was just a wildfire of chaos for us that we got the opportunity to work through and still do every day. But what we essentially realized in a very big aha moment, and still come to realize sometimes, we have sometimes where we're like, ugh, we got attached again. We got attached to the outcome. And every single time, it's an opportunity to come back to love, to bring consciousness to where in our relationship are we committing for attachment's sake from an egoic place, and how can we move that into returning to being committed to love?
It has been such a wonderful opportunity to commit back to love to you again and again. And that's what we were saying earlier, is that this truly is not a concrete process of, okay, we did the thing and now we're done. It is fluid, and it is a constant decision to commit to love. And something that we've learned over the last 8 years is that this attachment that shows up is very akin to how our society views commitment. And we've touched on it a little bit, but what I've come to understand is that we view commitment right now, for some reason, as a contract, not as a decision. Look at the way we have commitments set up in our society. We have work contracts. We have marriage contracts. We have contracts for basically everything that we do, because there's an underlying belief that if we don't write it down and sign it and say, we now have a contract and we are bonded by this piece of paper, you won't honor your commitment. And the truth is, that isn't commitment. That is a contract. And that breeds resentment, because you are no longer doing something because you are choosing to do it. You are doing something because you have to do it. When we changed the structure of our partnership from being unconscious to conscious, part of that process was coming back together and having another ceremony, not with a marriage contract, not to renew our vows in the sense of how our society views it, but rather to come together and decide, okay, we've separated, we went through all of this, these challenging times together, and we are choosing to come back to love. We are choosing to be in this partnership regardless of what came up. And that, in my opinion, is so much stronger than a contract, because you now have both people choosing to be in this partnership because they are committed.
Yeah, it was a conscious commitment ceremony. I don't know if that existed before that, but that is what we did, and it was beautiful. Moving into one other thing we wanted to touch on before we talk about cultivating devotion is we want to talk about the purity and sanctity of commitment. You know, we've had a long years of trials and beauty and everything as well, but looking at those more challenging times, right? Because that's when your commitment will be tested, and that's when your ego will be triggered, and that's when you will be shown beautifully through your emotions, aka your messengers, your anger, your fear, your sadness, where you are out of alignment with truth, where you are committed for commitment's sake, out of, you know, an egoic attachment or fear of, you know, not being in control or the belief in lack. You will be shown that so that you can then move back into truth, move back into the light, into love, into consciousness, into authentic commitment. And so know that as those things come up, you are going to be given that opportunity, and you have a choice to make. You can choose to fall unconscious and choose your egoic patterns and your unhealthy ways of engaging, escapism, ignorance, denial, filling the void with something else, another vacation, all the things that we did and we've shared about a lot on this podcast, or you can choose to do the work. And I'm here to tell you, the path of denial and avoidance and ignorance is not the easier one. It is quote unquote easier in the short term, but my God, does it just compound with interest? I mean, it really does. We've also talked about that here before. Like, that energy, that reality is not going away. You can shove it into the back of your mind as much as you want. At some point, it's going to have to be dealt with. Choosing the purity and sanctity of returning to love, of forgiveness, of radical self-acceptance, of radical acceptance of the other person or thing as it all just being what it is and being an opportunity for growth will carry you through, and is my best piece of advice if you are working to cultivate a healthier relationship with commitment, which I would argue every single person on this planet has an opportunity to do, unless, of course, you're an ascended master, right? Remember the purity and sanctity of the commitment that you made, the love-based commitment, not the egoic, fear-based commitment.
And you touched on something really important there about the sanctity of commitment and the sanctity of a container of a relationship. When we do something half-heartedly or we cause harm in a partnership by acting out of alignment, a crack or a fracture happens in that foundation. You cannot build on a cracked foundation. And the laws of the universe and the divine are so beautifully intricate in that they will point out the crack so that you can address it. The key is to have the courage to be transparent and be honest when a crack happens, to be able to come to the table, to disclose it, to talk about it, and recommit to love. Because when we don't do that, that crack will then manifest bigger and bigger and bigger, because devotion requires purity. And in order to have that purity, we have to seal up all the cracks. I will tell you from experience that if we choose the route of escapism, of pushing things down and not dealing with them, the universe self-corrects. And patterns will start to play out, and what could have been a small crack then becomes a large fracture that quite literally fractures the partnership and causes conflict in order to redefine the commitment. Because if there's a commitment defined on a fractured foundation, it cannot last. We then have an opportunity, when these things express, to commit to love. And when we do that, we heal that crack, we repair the foundation, and then we can move back into devotion.
This is the perfect segue into our second and final point under how the heck do we get our world into a place of commitment and devotion. And that's cultivating devotion. And something really beautiful you lightly touched on, and we say here a lot, is it all starts internally, right? We want to focus on external. We want to be devoted to our partner and our work and our kids and etc. However, if we're not cultivating that internal devotion, we're not going to be able to give it. And so everything starts within. All devotion starts with the self. It's a really deep awareness and attention to self-love. This can look like meditation, inner work, shadow work, call that what you want, connecting with the divine, communion, self-care of your temple, your body, this physical vessel that holds your soul and your consciousness. And so really, really want to start off by saying, focus on how you can devote to yourself. And this isn't a selfish, egoic devotion to yourself, right? Like we just said, devotion is purity, it's sanctity. Choosing to devote to being your highest self. That's really the only and ultimate devotion, is devoting to being your highest self. And once you've started to cultivate that, we can then turn it externally. And externally, cultivating devotion is really choosing the needs and desires of others. It's supporting and loving them completely, selflessly, and authentically with full presence as if they were the divine. We're going to get now into some examples of what devotion looks like in our life. And first, we want to share a really beautiful story, because when we went to High Vibe, which we did talk about a little bit, but I don't know we fully honed in on this. I think we were saving it for this episode. We had a really beautiful experience where we got to watch a conscious Sanskrit female rapper, a very melodic, sensuous type of melody, and she was rapping in Sanskrit about devotion, and she clearly was on a path of bhakti as well, so of course it resonated. But we had this moment where we both fully surrendered at the same time. This is the key. We've had moments where you've been devoted to me, we've had moments where I've been devoted to you, and we've shared them, but it's always only ever been in physical connection, which we're also going to talk about. But in this moment, we both 100% consciously, presently devoted to each other through dancing. It was truly one of the most beautiful moments of my life, to dance together in such intimacy and devotion and presence. I was dancing as a goddess. I was dancing for you as if you were God, as if you were my Shiva, like as if you were the ultimate expression of all that ever is and was. And I was dancing that for myself as well. And so it was just this, I'm swaying back and forth, but this like beautiful melodic flow of completely merging auras and energy fields. I couldn't have possibly determined where I ended and you began, and we just became one. It was full and complete oneness. And I want to like really drive home here. We've been together for 8 years. We've been on some form of consciousness journey for almost 3 years, three and a half years now. And this was the first time this happened for us. And it was like 2 months ago. This is shared to show you what is possible when both people are in their embodied highest expression and commit to devotion and surrendering completely to devotion to the other person and ultimately to the divine. That's really what got us through to that moment, was it was all about surrendering. You know, we say God, you can use whatever word works for you, surrendering to God and seeing that in you and in me and in us and becoming one. It was truly beautiful.
There really aren't words for this experience, because the closeness and the oneness that we felt in that moment was so pure. It was so full of love. We were able to truly embody for this evening what it is like to consciously relate, what it is like to live from the heart and be in that space with your partner. And I can tell you it is the most beautiful thing that I have ever witnessed or been able to witness in somebody else.
We're both tearing up here, and I want to be really vulnerable right now and share from my perspective why I'm tearing up, because 50% of me is like, it really was, and I'm so grateful to experience moments like that with you. And then the other 50% of me, to be authentic and transparent here, is we woke up the next day, had an argument, and then had a really challenging week after. And this is something we've talked about a lot, is these kind of highs and lows. And as you're carving out these incredible moments of deep spiritual experiences of devotion and love and oneness, it is obviously universal law that then the other side of that, to the other extreme, would be felt. And so we find a lot in our partnership when we have these incredibly profound high moments of connection, we then have moments of challenge. When you are introduced to that frequency, that experience, that whatever it is, and then try to maintain that, number one, your mind, your nervous system, your life is usually not wired for that. You get the opportunity to learn how to integrate that. This is integration. And then it's going to show you, through moving through your experience, your mind, your life, your consciousness, it's going to show you where in your thoughts and your experience and all of those things you are not in alignment with that experience. And so we got to experience complete devotion to one another at the same time in a moment of complete merging and oneness. And as we tried to carry that forward, we were shown all of the places in our individual experiences that weren't supporting that. I want to share that so that you all know, when we come on here and share these wildly magical and profound moments, the work continues. It's still a commitment to return to love. It's still a commitment to devotion. It's still a choice every day.
And this right here, like you said, is the integration. It's the work. It's choosing to commit to love when you have these highs and you have these lows, because it is through navigating these experiences that are coming up to be healed that you then get to raise your base frequency to be a match to that experience. And as we grow closer in conscious relating with one another, we will be shown kind of breadcrumb trails of, this is what's next. This is what's next. And here's how you get to it. The question we posed is, how do we cultivate more devotion? Well, the answer is by continuing to commit, by experiencing these high levels of connection, and then working through the necessary inner work that is required to make us a match to that.
And also too, it's not always about inner work. It's not just inner work. We want to give you some really beautiful examples of ways that devotion comes up in our life. Cultivating devotion is not just focusing on the inner work and on healing the parts of yourself that are not in alignment with that experience. It's also, and I would argue more importantly, about focusing on cultivating it in your life and in the positive things. We have, I think, 5 or 6 examples here of ways that we are deeply devoted in our life and in our relationship, and those have had profound impacts for us. We're just going to kind of go through these, and maybe we'll riff and add some thoughts, and then we'll close us out with contemplation questions for you on this subject. Dancing. Dancing is definitely one of your acts of devotion, and it's one of my favorite things to watch you do. I'm like drooling right now because it is the most attractive thing. And I'm not talking about like sexual physical attraction. I'm talking about like spiritual energetic attraction. I have always been completely enthralled by your dancing because it is an act of devotion. And that movement and that surrender to life and to the flow of energy into your body takes really great devotion. And I find for me, when I try to do that, not so much these days, I've really kind of, that experience we just shared about really helped, but I find that it really brings out my insecurities of like, how am I going to look and what are people going to think of me? And so this is a perfect example of where the universe will show you where your thoughts or your beliefs or your actions are not in alignment, right? I want to cultivate devotion. I want to dance and surrender, dance for the divine, dance for my partner. But I am having these egoic thoughts of insecurity and what are people going to think of me, right? Which is fear, which is trying to be in control, trying to be in control of what others think, trying to be in control of how others perceive me, which I obviously cannot control. And so it's an opportunity for me to do that work. And it's an opportunity for me to enjoy the devotion that you show through dancing.
Dancing has been such a passion because it is an outlet for that devotion, for understanding the movement and the flow of life and the divine and how it moves through our bodies, and to be able to connect with another person in that way. It's just so beautiful. And so thank you so much. I receive what you just shared about dancing and devotion, and I'm so grateful that we get to share that aspect in our partnership. Another aspect of devotion for me, the way that expresses, is through cooking. It's through feeding people. It's by pouring love and energy into food and creating art through the energy of what nourishes people. And it's an opportunity to be of service. And so it's really clear when I'm in that state of devotion what that final product is of the food and how it tastes and how it is served to people, versus I'm doing it because I have to do it. And the food that comes as a result of that and the energy of that food is very different.
And this goes right back into the beginning of half-heartedness, because if you are cooking just to get a meal on the table, that is the energy and intention that went into that decision is not one of devotion. And so the food is not going to taste as good and is not going to be as nourishing. This is the whole saying of like, grandma's cooking with love tastes so much better. It's a real thing, y'all. This is also why going out to eat at restaurants, if it is not a conscious restaurant, and I'm not just talking about the ingredients and things, but like the people and the person or people preparing your food are not aligned, are half-hearted, are just there to make a paycheck or having a bad day, you're consuming that energy as well. Three other examples we have here is caring for our pups. You could insert your children, you can insert your plants, you can insert whatever you want to insert here, but we are deeply devoted to these dogs. Obviously, having four dogs requires a very special amount of devotion and love and creativity, especially in a trailer. But we really, truly are so devoted to those dogs and to giving them the best life possible and giving them as much love as possible. The last two here are our bodies. And this act of devotion has taken several years to cultivate. It started small when we first conceived, which is now almost 3 years ago. I can't even believe it. And it was really just trying to eliminate chemicals from our lives and have healthier food. And that has gone down a massive journey of air quality and water quality and being entirely all natural, chemical free. Everything is natural and non-toxic. And especially with our food, we are 100% organic and have been for almost a year now, which is amazing that we've been able to keep that up for this long and have been devoted to that. And that level of devotion is getting even deeper now. And so devotion is something that, you know, grows over time. And as you can see with this example specifically, you're not going to wake up one day and go from, you know, abusing your body with toxins and processed foods and fast food and chemicals and I don't know why Febreze is coming to my mind, or Tide. Those are probably two of the most toxic products on the market. Sorry if you use those, but they are. Go read the label and do some Googling. Going from that to complete health embodied devotion is gonna take time. So be patient with yourself on this one. It is a journey. Just start right now with each thing you purchase, and your next shampoo, your next cleaning product, your next laundry product, being devoted to choosing the healthiest option for you and the planet. The last one here, and I know some people who listen to this, maybe family or close friends, we always caveat anytime we're going to talk about something physical with, number one, we're all adults here, but also we are sexual creatures, and sex is an act of devotion. And we've actually done an episode on this specifically. I would really recommend it. It is beautiful channeling of sacred sexuality, and that sex is divine and is devotion. And in our partnership, we have clearly found that we've used this as an avenue for devotion, and we know when we're not. And we've now reached the place where that has expanded so much over our very diverse journey over the last 8 years that we can't have non-devotional intimacy anymore. It is no longer an experience or frequency that our bodies align with. And so it, especially for me, is like a visceral, physical, nope, not gonna do that type of experience. So something that we also at High Vibe this last few months that I integrated through this beautiful Sanskrit woman artist that was singing was nothing but devotion will be accepted anymore. And so if it's not going to be devotional connection, conscious connection, then we're just not going to connect, because we're not going to have half-hearted sex. We're not going to have half-hearted intimacy. And we're not just going to have intimacy because we said we would, or we should, or we think you need to be physical X amount of times because that's what a committed romantic relationship looks like. Sometimes we're not physical for a few weeks, and sometimes we're physical every day. You know, it flows, as does our consciousness and our energy and what we're going through in life and how insane our travel is. Keeping in mind here that physical intimacy, and that's not just sex, that's everything that encompasses intimacy, is an act of devotion. And you can start to cultivate that. And, you know, really asking yourself, which moves right into these contemplation questions, what would your life look like if everything you did intimately, physically, romantically with anyone in your life — you can be intimate with non-romantic partners, friends — what would it look like if you consciously treated that as an act of devotion? If snuggling up with your child was an act of devotion to the divine, if you treated your child or your puppy or whatever it is as God expressing itself, because it is, and started to consciously move into that of, I'm holding God right now, of, I'm loving God right now. You know, what would it look like if you started to treat all of your relationships as an act of devotion? Better yet, what would your life look like if you devoted to and loved yourself as God, Source Creator, loves you? What would that look like? What would it look like if you started doing everything in your life for other people as if you were doing it for the divine? Because that right there is devotion in action. That is the surefire way that you can start to cultivate that. So as you contemplate these questions of what would your life look like, start to ask yourself, how can I turn blank into devotion? How can I be devoted to whatever it is in your life that you're trying to cultivate that with?
Yeah, that's a really good pondering to sit with. I mean, take any action that you do and ask yourself, is this coming from devotion? And if not, what does that look like? And you may be surprised that you already have the answer, and that perhaps half-heartedness has just been a standard program that we've been running and we've been comfortable with. But we all have the capacity to live from the heart and live in devotion. And when we start doing that, we can see and observe, if I shift my state and I start living from devotion, let me see how I can interact with my partner differently. Let me see how they react to that. What is the energy field that is created when we devote ourselves to our partner with loving touch, with care in holding space? What shows up?
I think it goes without saying that there is no room for half-heartedness in where we're moving as a collective, in this awakening, ascension, whatever you want to call it. Half-heartedness will not be able to exist there, because the shadows won't exist in an enlightened world. However, commitment is beautiful. I am not saying commitment's not beautiful. It is a gift. There is some really beautiful things to be found in a commitment. And the truth is, commitment carried us through the first 7 years of our relationship. Mm-hmm. It is truly what got us through. The commitment to each other, to love, as well as the attachment to the outcome, got us to that 7-year mark. And the truth also is that commitment wasn't enough anymore. It wasn't a frequency match for what we are cultivating in this very conscious and divine partnership. And the reality is, devotion is mandatory now. It is such a higher level expression of the container that we're cultivating. And so as you move through these and you move out of half-heartedness and you get into a really beautiful place of commitment, and then you will eventually reach a place where commitment, you know, doesn't quite cut it anymore and is still a part of it. It's an and, right? But now we're moving into devotion. As you flow through these and in and out and ebb and flow, I just remind you that being devoted to yourself, to everything in your life, and ultimately to the divine, because everything is the divine expressing an infinite amount of possibilities, that devotion will carry you to the most beautiful places and experiences. And as we said earlier, it's the simplest way to get to the divine. It's like sitting in the lap of the divine, and that type of communion, another really beautiful Siddhic gene keyword, is unmatched. Whatever you do, no matter what comes up, no matter what shadows, no matter what challenges, even if you find yourself in half-heartedness, even if you're struggling, remember, make the commitment to return to love. Be deeply devoted to whatever it is you believe is out there as the divine expression. Be devoted to that and to yourself and to love.